This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. I don't know whether the brother told you that I'll be speaking in English because this is the language that I know apart from Arabic. Will that be all right for you? They said when we go to Africa, people would like to listen to English. Why? Because they feel that, oh, these are Westerners coming to teach about Islam, so they become more interested. But you are already in a European country, so if I speak English in English, it doesn't make any much difference for you. You didn't think that, wow, he's Westerner, because you are already Westerner. As you know, as we are in the West, and in the West, the main system that is applied to choose or to decide on something is a democratic system. And some brothers who might have a problem with the word democracy, yeah? But leave the problem aside. So I would like to maybe consult you in a democratic way regarding the topic. Because you are the customers, and it is not fair that I just come and deliver something that you are not interested to listen to. Yes? Yeah? Especially, mashallah, most of the people are shabab. Yeah? So, young people. So we have two topics. The first topic is the topic that has been announced, which is Quran in our life. Okay? And the second topic is... What do you think? Any guess? Any guess about the second topic? Any guess? No? طيب. Okay. May I ask, how many married people are here? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 only. Sisters? Come on, most of you are not married. By very few. Okay. The second topic was how to fix our marriages. So this is the second topic. Yeah? And now I invented a third topic, which is what? Tayyib? Which is interaction between brothers and sisters. Yeah? So which topic you prefer? The first, second, third? The first topic is Quran in our life. The second topic is how to fix our marriages. Yeah? And the third one, interaction between brothers and sisters. Okay, who go for the first topic? Okay. Who goes for the second topic? One brother and two sisters. طيب. Who goes for the third topic? Interaction between brothers and sisters. Okay, we'll go for the first topic. طيب. Yeah? Because... Okay, Quran in our life. I'm very pleased that you have chosen this topic, because really, this topic is a very important topic. A very important topic. Quran in our life. I will be speaking about the definition of Quran, what is Quran, and the revelation of Quran, and the compilation of Quran. Yeah? This is the academic side of it. The definition of Quran, the compilation of Quran. However, before that, my dear brothers and sisters, and I would like to make this session as interactive as possible. So feel free to ask questions. Yeah? Feel free to ask questions. Yeah? Maybe we'll speak for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and then we will give you the opportunity to ask questions. Ask any question you would like. And by the way, I understood that the entire session is 2 hours. Yeah? We will make it half-half. Half lecture and half questions. So please feel free to ask any question you want. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, we normally receive, or I normally receive a question from young brothers and young sisters. And they say that we love to be good Muslims. We love to be good Muslims. We want to be good Muslims, but we can't. But we can't. We are unable to become good Muslims. And they say, they always ask this question, how do we become good Muslims? And I always say to them, there are many ways, but I would like to summarize it by one thing. One thing. Yes? Or, as I say it sometimes to some people, by one major thing and one minor thing. The major thing that I always mention it to brothers and sisters, and even I mention it to non-Muslims as well, is that make sure that you have a strong relationship with the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And I always say to them, make sure that you read Quran on a daily basis for 15 to 20 minutes in Arabic loudly. Keep reading it for at least 1 month, and then let us see after 1 month what will happen to you. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, I have never said this to any person, and he applied this, he implemented this in his or in her life, reading Quran every day. Reading Quran means Arabic, the Arabic Quran, because the English translation is not Quran, the translation. Reading Quran loudly for 15 minutes every day, and they see a direct impact on their life. They see that they have changed completely, as if they are different personalities. And I remember a brother who came recently, subhanAllah, in an amazing story. I was traveling by train in London. This was 3-4 months ago. And then a brother, he was on his 20, 25, 26, was sitting in front of me. In the beginning, I did not think that he was a Muslim. So he sat, he was there, I sat in front of him. I took a mushaf from my pocket and I started to read Quran. Then the brother, he looked at me, and then I realized that, oh, maybe he wants something. So I said to him, Salaam alaikum. Then he said, wa alaikum as-salam. I continued to read. Then I told him, are you all right? He said, yes. Then just in few minutes, the brother came and sat next to me. And he said, I think I have seen you. Are you a sheikh, etc.? I said, yes. Okay. He said, what's your name? My name is Haytham. He said, are you a sheikh? I said, yeah, you can say. He said, do you have knowledge in Islam? I said, yeah. He said, do you have knowledge in Quran? I said, yes. Can I do anything for you, brother? And then he said, are you willing to give me 10, 15 minutes? I said, yes, yes. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, I have difficult questions for you. I said, yeah, go ahead. I'm willing to answer them. And then, wallahi, the minute I told him, yes, I can answer your questions, he started to cry. In the train. He was 25, 26, as I told you. He started to cry. So I realized that there is something wrong. Then we stepped down, we came out of the train, and I told him I have an office. My office, the Islamic Sharia Council, was near, subhanAllah. So I took him to the office. And then in the office, I said, go ahead, brother, feel relaxed. SubhanAllah, my next meeting was cancelled, so you can sit, we can sit for an hour or so. And then he started to ask questions about the authenticity of Islam. Is Islam authentic or not? Is Islam the correct religion or not? Is Islam the correct religion or not? I said, do you doubt that Islam is the correct religion or not? He said, yes, I doubt it. I said, okay, let us start. Let us imagine that Islam is not the correct religion. Is there any religion better than Islam? He started to think, and he said, to be honest with you, I've been thinking about it, and there is no religion that is better than Islam. But Islam itself, I doubt it. I said, okay, so at least, let us say that Islam has some problems. There are some mistakes in Islam, some doubtful things in Islam. Yes? But this is one thing. But you confirm to me that the mistakes in Christianity are more. Do you agree? He said, yes. I said, what about Judaism? He said, no, I never looked at it because this is a closed deen. We cannot even become Jews or Jewish people. Okay? I said, yes. I said to him, what about atheism? Atheism. He said, I looked at it. It doesn't really make sense. My heart does not accept it. I said, is it just because of this? He said, even there are many theories that atheists say and claim, and they are not true. So I said, so atheism is not for you. Let us not get into the details. It's not the correct religion. Okay? Or it's not the correct way of life. Then, what would be the correct way of life? What would be the best religion? I said to him, do you believe that there is a supreme being above us? He said, yes. I said, what do we call this supreme being? He said, God. I said, excellent. So we believe in God. Yes? God, who is the God? He said, the creator. So I said, you believe that he is the creator? And he said, yes. So I said, God wants something from us, or he doesn't want anything from us? He created us for nothing or for a purpose. What does he want? At least, forget about the purpose of creation, but at least we as a human being, created by God, we need to know why he created us. Does that make sense? Are you following, sisters, brothers? We need to know. He, as a creator, he needs to communicate with us what he wanted from us. Why he created us. He said, it doesn't make sense. I said, how did he communicate with us? How did he communicate with us? He said, he sent prophets. I said, excellent. Those prophets were human beings. Yes. They died. Yes. Allah sent messages with them. Yes. Are you following? I'm just summarizing it. Sent messages with them. Yes. What about, what are those messages? Torah. It's not Bible, but Torah. Yes. Injil. Yes. Do we have Torah? No. Do we have Injil? No. Why didn't God preserve Torah and Injil? Why didn't he preserve it for humanity? He said, maybe there is a reason for that. Definitely. I said, but the conclusion is, they are not preserved. We don't have them. Agree? Agree. I said, what about the Bible? He said, oh, many contradictions in the Bible. When I started my journey of doubt, of looking for the truth, I read the Bible and I read many criticisms. There are many contradictions. It cannot be the message of God. The Torah is the true message of God, but we don't have it. The Bible is not the message of God. I said, so what is left? He said, what do you mean? I said, what is left is this. This is Quran. It is the message of God. Then we started to speak about Quran. And I found, my dear sisters, my dear brothers, that his main problem is he does not read Quran. He doesn't know what is there in the Quran. I said, Akhi, you don't have doubts. You don't have doubts. But you have a very weak iman. Very low iman. Because you have a very low iman, any idea that any person can put in your mind, you will find that your heart is like a sponge, accepts any idea. And then you start doubting yourself. In reality, you don't have any doubt. And my dear brothers and sisters, most of you are young, This scenario that I have experienced, I have experienced it with this brother, It is the same scenario with most of our young people who live in the West. They think, they start doubting Islam. In reality, or they say that they doubt Islam, in reality they don't doubt Islam, but they have some questions in their minds. One. Two, number two, their iman is so weak, so they cannot distinguish between those questions that just jump into their minds and their reality, whether they are really doubting Islam or they are not doubting Islam. They think that they are doubting Islam, and in reality they are not doubting Islam. So I said to him, you have no doubt about Islam, akhi, but you need to what? To read about Islam. You need to know Islam, and the first gate for you, or the first source of knowledge for you, is this book. You need to learn this book. I took a commitment from him to learn how to read Quran in Arabic and to read Quran in Arabic loudly for 15 to 20 minutes. Yes? And I took a commitment from him to read the translation of Quran in order to understand it every day, at least one page of the translation of the Quran. One page. And then I asked him to come in a month time if he still has any doubt about Islam. He said, you are so confident. I said, yes, I'm in fact overconfident about what I'm talking about. He said, seriously? I said, seriously. I could have seen, I saw the tears in his eyes. And I told him, brother, just go, have tawakkul on Allah, and do what I have told you to do. By the grace of Allah, he did not come. I hope that he did not come because Quran treated all his problems. My dear brothers and sisters, even if we have non-Muslims here among us, I always say clearly and loudly, I challenge any non-Muslim, or any secular Muslim, or any liberal Muslim, I challenge anyone to read Quran with an open heart and to remain away from this book and not to submit to this book. I challenge anyone to read Quran frequently for a month, to read it in Arabic every day, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and to read the translations of the Quran with an open heart. This is my condition, with an open heart. And then by the end of that month, I challenge him or her that they will submit to this book. My dear brothers and sisters, we are not talking about any book. We are talking about the kalam of the Lord. The Lord, the Creator, he spoke a kalam. He spoke. Obviously, the Lord will not say anything. Will say the best of things because he is the Creator and his kalam is the best kalam. His speech is the best speech. And his speech is coming from him. So his speech has divine qualities. So we are not talking about any kalam. We are talking about the divine speech. The divine speech has a powerful effect on any human being. The divine speech has an overwhelming strength that no one can stop against this speech, because it is divine. This is the kalam of Allah. And that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Had we revealed this book on a mountain, what is a mountain? A mountain is what? Stones and rocks. Yeah? What would happen? What would happen to the mountain? The mountain will what? split asunder or will collapse because of what? Because of the kalam of Allah Jalla wa'ala, the mountain. The mountain will collapse and it will humble itself because of what? Because of receiving of the kalam of Allah Jalla wa'ala. And that's why one of the mushrikeen came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he started to challenge the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Afaraghta ya Aba al-Walid?" He said, "Yes." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to read the beginning of Surah Fussilat, Hameen. And then the man was confused. He could not challenge the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went back to his people and he said, "By Allah, I have heard kalam that is not kalam of the Bashar. Kalam, a very sweet kalam, very strong kalam, very overwhelming kalam, very attractive kalam." And they said, "Oh, we sent you to change Muhammad, and Muhammad, because of his kalam, it changed you, managed to change you. It must be that Muhammad is a magician, and his Quran is magic. And we are respecting Quran, so we don't say that Quran is a magic, but it has effect that is stronger than this effect of magic on a human being. That's why nothing stands against magic like the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Because it is the strongest weapon, the strongest cure, the strongest shifa. Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke to the entire humanity, "Ya ayyuha an-nas, قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين." All mankind, not all Muslims. All mankind. This book was not sent to who? To Muslims. This book was sent to who? The entire humanity. This book was sent to the entire humanity. "Ya ayyuha an-nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idha," an admonition and a reminder came to you from your Lord. "Maw'idhatun min rabbikum." If a person has arrogance in his heart or in her heart and they want to soften their heart, then they should read the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. If the person is heedless and he wants a cure for his heart, he should read the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. That's why no one, my dear brothers and sisters, is away from the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala except he or she has a hard heart. No one can claim that their heart or his heart is soft if this person is away from the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. No one can claim this. Don't try to convince me and to say to me that you taste the beauty of Islam and you do not taste the beauty of the Quran. I cannot believe in that. And the Quran says otherwise. "Ya ayyuha an-nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idha." The real maw'idha is in the book of Allah. Many brothers and sisters, they ask, they say, "We want to soften our hearts. What do we do? We need to listen to lectures, etc." I said, "Wallahi, if you don't start with the book of Allah, nothing will help you. Nothing will help you. This is the start. The book of Allah, Jalla wa'ala. This is a maw'idha. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ." And then after that, what? وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Subhanallah. A healer for the problems of our hearts. لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, even not just the physical heart, but everything in our breasts. It is a healer. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, many people, many Muslims have suffered from depression, suffer from loneliness. They feel negative. They feel evil. They have different feelings. And sometimes they go to psychiatrists, doctors, they are seeking for what? To get pleasure, to get contentment, to get satisfaction, to get inner peace. Wallahi, they will never get that as they are away from the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. As far as they are away from the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. You will never get it. I am telling you, I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah. Wallahi, you will never get inner peace if you are away from the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَإِنَّ لَهُ قَرِينَ. The one who turns away from the reminder of Ar-Rahman, or the remembrance of Ar-Rahman. The remembrance of Ar-Rahman mainly is this book. نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا. We will send a shaytan upon him, and the shaytan will be his qareen, will be his close companion. So if you need to choose, we need to choose, my dear brothers and sisters, either we live with the Quran or we live with the shayateen. It is as simple as this. Either you live with the Quran or you live with the shaytan. It is your choice. And wallahi, there is no person who is away from the Quran except he suffers from the shayateen in his or in her life. You know about the recent big celebrity. Robin Williams. He committed suicide. Yes? Why did he commit suicide? Before that, they had an interview with him, and he was speaking about the luxury life that he had. But in that interview, he committed, also he confirmed that he does not have contentment and happiness in his life. What about fame? What about wealth? What about money? What about being big celebrity? Wherever you go, people would like to take pictures of you, photos. What about all of these things? These things will never give the person happiness. Allah made it like this. Allah created us, my dear brothers and sisters, like this, that we will not feel happy except if we are attached to Him. Allah wanted it to be like this. Why? This is out of the mercy of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Why? Because Allah wants us to find no solution except in this. Allah wants to force us to go back to this. This is out of His mercy. So Allah Jalla wa'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Many brothers and sisters, when they suffer psychological problems, or jinn problems, or sihr, or whatever you call it, they go everywhere for a cure, and the cure is next to them, and they don't use it. They don't use it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And they will never find a cure. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدَى. Guidance. وَرَحْمَةٌ. Rahma, mercy. It is a guidance and mercy. For who? For who, brothers? For the entire humanity, provided that they submit to the book. Once they submit to the book will give them everything. If they don't submit to the book, they will not get anything, even if they have everything. Allah Jalla wa'ala said about the guidance of the Qur'an, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, this book guides to that what is better. Guide to that what is better in every matter. In matters related to the dunya, to the deen, in matters related to our social life, our political life, our financial life, our economical life, to anything. It is in this book, the guidance. Guidance, and there is no guidance above the guidance of the book. قَالَ اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Allah Jalla wa Ala said to Adam and Eve, go down, descend to the earth. I'm sending you to the earth. If you receive huda, guidance from me, you need to follow it. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, and the one who turns away from my dhikr, my guidance, my remembrance, whether at that time their own books or this time this book, our book, what will happen? فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, he will have what? A life full of difficulties. Miserable life. Miserable life. Life full of hardship. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى, we will resurrect this person on the day of resurrection as a blind person. He will say, Ya Allah, why did you resurrect me as a blind person? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Remember, we sent you our ayat. We sent them long time ago. How did you treat this book? How did you dealt? How did you deal? Or how did you establish a relationship with this book? Did you endorse this book? And he will say, no. I ignored this book. I put it behind my back. Allah Jalla wa Ala said, as you ignored our book and our guidance, we will ignore you this time on the day of resurrection. This is the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala, my dear brothers and sisters. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the superiority of this book over any kalam is like the superiority of Allah over His creation. We can talk a lot about this book. I told you, my dear brothers and sisters, that this book, or as I told you, this book is the only source of guidance, is the only source of light. And that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala said to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Alif Lam Ra, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. A book that we have sent to you. In order to what? To take people from the darkness of ignorance, of jahiliyyah, of being away from Allah, to put them in the light of Islam, in the light of this book. This is the job and the aim of this book. To take people, to take the entire humanity to the light of Allah Jalla wa Ala. My dear brothers and sisters, we can talk a lot about this book. Now, let us talk about some practical aspects. Because, wallahi, I feel negative, hurt, once I see Muslims are unable to read the book of Allah. I feel hurt. Subhanallah. Allah sent it as a rahmah, as guidance, as a nur, as light for us, and we don't read it. When we read, we make hundreds of mistakes in one line. So, what shall we do? What shall we do? First of all, we need to believe in it. We believe in it, alhamdulillah. That what? We believe that Al-Qur'an, which is the kalam that is written in the Mus'haf. Yeah? Al-Qur'an. The kalam of Allah. If I read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, I am repeating what Allah said long time ago. And He said it as I said it. I am repeating exactly what He said. There is no alteration. There is no change. No one changed what Allah said, and no one can manage to change what Allah has said. No one can even change it in the future. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Indeed, we have revealed this dhikr, and it is upon us to protect it. There is no divine book that has been preserved except the Quran. The only book that Allah revealed and Allah protected is what? Is the Quran. And no one can change anything in the Quran. In fact, if anyone makes any mistake or a change in anything in the Quran, in the written Mus'haf, you will find thousands of people discovering this mistake. In fact, there was a very strange narration. Al-Ma'mun was one of the Abbasi caliphs, and he used to meet people, and he saw a person who was a Jew from Bani Israel. This person became Muslim. So Al-Ma'mun, this caliph, told him, "You used to be a Jew. You are a Jew originally. Did you become Muslim?" He said, "Yes, I became Muslim." He said, "Why? How did you become Muslim?" He said, "I heard that your book, Al-Quran, has been preserved. So I said, let me test whether this book is really preserved or not." He said that he used to write, he used to have good handwriting. So he said, "I took a copy of the Quran and I wrote it again and I made some changes and alteration. I took the copy with my beautiful handwriting and I went to the market. Then I gave it to the bookstore. The man looked at it, started reading it. He said, no, this is not Quran. This is not Quran. We can't buy it." He said, "I took it and I went to the second man." He started reading it. He said, no, this is not Quran. This is Quran. He said, no. Third one, he said, no, this is not Quran. This is not Quran. Then this Jew said, "I realized that this book has been preserved by Allah. And I accepted Islam immediately." Wallahi, my dear brothers, one of our mashayikh, his ustad is Abdul Khaliq Udayma. Abdul Khaliq Udayma is a very great scholar, wrote a book about Quran. He mentioned that the power of Quran can influence many non-Muslims, many non-Arabic speaking people. Yes, even if they do not understand anything of it. And he narrated a story that one of his relatives was traveling in Germany and he was reading Quran. And next to him was a German person who does not understand Arabic. And then he said to him, "What is this that you are reading?" He said, "I am reading Quran." He said, "Is this the Quran that you talk about, you believe in?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Read again." He started to read. Then the German guy started to listen carefully. He said, "Read again." Then he read again. He said, "This book cannot be from human beings. This book must be from the God. I believe in this book." And he accepted Islam just by listening to Quran. One of the shuyukh in Egypt narrated a very strange story, another strange story. We can mention so many stories. He said that a person in Al-Ahram, you know, the pyramids, he used to sell traditional music for the tourists. Yeah, who go for tourism there. He said a lady came to him and she said to him, "I am ill, sick internally, I have problems. I want a traditional music, calm music, maybe it can cure me." So the guy said, "I put the first one." She said, no. "The second one, no. Third one, no. By mistake, I put Quran." And she said, "Just hold on. And she started to listen. And she said, "Yes, I want this music." She doesn't know that this is Quran. He said to her, sorry, I don't mean... He thought that he offended her. He said, this is not music. She said, I want this. Then he told her, this is Quran. She said, still, I want it. I'm happy with this. She took some tapes from him. At that time, the cassettes. She took a cassette from him. Later on, she started to communicate with him. And then she told him that she embraced Islam. This is the power of Allah. This is the power of Quran. This is the power of Kalamullah. Wallahi, that's why I feel very bad. When I feel that, oh, Allah honored us, my dear brothers and sisters, by this book, honored us. Wallahi, the entire humanity is looking for this book, and we have it. We have it everywhere, but we don't have it in our hearts. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah honored us. Allah selected the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It chose the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and honored them by sending them the only book that he preserved. And yet, we leave it behind our backs. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be angry on the day of resurrection. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my people abandoned this Qur'an. You sent it to them as a source of guidance, source of happiness, source of light, source of everything, and they left it behind them. So my dear brothers and sisters, just to cut it short, what do we need to do? Believing in Him, yes. The second point. We need to learn how to read Qur'an. Once I say, need to learn how to read Qur'an means reading what? The Arabic Qur'an. Because Qur'an means what Allah said, which is the Arabic. Not the English or the Dutch or the Danish or... Okay. Read it. We need to learn it. You might say, especially there might be some Arabs here, you might say that we know how to read it. You need to examine yourself. My dear brother, my dear sister. First of all, open the last juz of the Quran. Please, every one of you should go and have that test. Yeah, we do self-assessment test and management test and these things. Let us have Quran self-test. Go to the last juz of the Quran. Yeah, the last juz of the Quran. And open it randomly. Just open it randomly and read. Can you read, for example, here? وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. Can you read like this? If you read, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا. Please, brothers, does this fit the book of Allah? Is this respect to Allah? Wallahi, if I give any of you, yes, any book in your language, and you start reading like this, people will laugh. They will say, what? This is how you treat your language. Are you uneducated? Are you illiterate? But we accept to make those mistakes in the book of Allah. That is not a problem. Yeah? Until now, with all due respect to some people, they read, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Is that true or not? Until now, for the non-Arabs especially, Subhanallah. Until now, some imams, they say, Wala Zalli. Until now, La ilaha illallah. So, this is the first step. Learn how to read the book of Allah. Yes? Okay, I will talk about the second step, which is understanding the meanings of the book of Allah. But because we have just 5 minutes, I would like just to talk about how do we read. A process, a very easy and simple process that will teach every single person how to read the book of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Very effective way. Many people tried it and it worked. Start with the last juzo. Yes? Start with the last juz of the Quran. And start with the very simple surahs. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Start with surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. First of all, if you can bring any recording on MP3 or whatever, just surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Yes? With any reciter that you like. And just if you can copy it, so the reciter is just reciting surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Maybe 10 times, 100 times. And start listening to it slowly. And then try to repeat after the reciter. He is reading, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. It might be difficult for you in the beginning. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Keep repeating it until you see that you are able to match his recitation. Yes? Even if you need to repeat it 1,000 times, don't say it is difficult. Once you keep repeating it, it will be easy for you. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. Revealed it easy for people to read it. But we need to read it. And don't be disappointed if you fail for in the first time. Because in fact, the more you read, the more you earn hasanat. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who reads the book of Allah, he will get one single hasana, yeah, by one letter. In fact, 10 hasanat every time he reads or she reads a letter. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't say alif, lam, mim as one letter. I say alif is a letter, lamun is a letter, mimun is a letter. What does that mean? It means once you read alif, lam, mim, you are getting how many hasana? 30 hasana. If you read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, how many hasana are you going to get? Anyone? 190 hasana. Just by Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If you read Surah Fatiha, how many hasana are you going to get? 1,300 hasana. If you read the entire Quran, yes, how many hasana are you going to get? Over 3 million hasana. Yes? So if you repeat, you are not losing. So keep repeating until your tongue and your ears are used to what? Read Quran. Read that specific surah. Once you become familiar with that surah, you will memorize it. And you will memorize it properly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Then move to the other chapter. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Do the same thing. Even if you stay one whole week just memorizing surah Qul huwallahu ahad properly, do it. You are not losing. Wallahi, you feel that you are winning at the end of the day. Then when you move to surah Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, it will be much easier. The first surah took 1 week. The second surah will take 4 days. The third surah will take 2 days. The other surahs will take less and less time. Then have a target to memorize the last juzu of Amma. Give yourself 1 year to memorize juzu Amma. There is a brother here, Ibrahim, brother Ibrahim. Alhamdulillah that he's not here. Brother Ibrahim is not here. Okay. He's not here. Okay. Alhamdulillah that he's not here. Brother Ibrahim is a brother. His mother, both his parents are not Muslim. One of them is from a religion and the other is from another religion. He is 17 or 18. I don't want to mention much of his details. Yeah? He listened to this lecture and he said that I took an oath from the brothers and sisters that next time I come, they memorize Juzu Amma. When I came this time, wallahi he came and he wanted to, يعني hugged me and he said, Wallahi jazakallah khair, I'm doing dua for you. He said, I said what? He said, I'm Muraj the entire of Juzu' Amma. He never been to Saudi Arabia, he never been to Egypt. Both of his parents are still non-Muslims. They are giving him hard time. He is 18 or 17. He is Ajami, not Arabi. And he memorized the entire Juzuk. I told him, read Quran. He opened Surah Kahf and he read, Wallahi, as Arabs read. As Arabs read. You can do it, my dear brothers and sisters. You can do it. Do what I told you and you will see that you can do it. Have a commitment. Give yourself a year to memorize Juzu' Amma. Once you memorize Juzu' Amma, the entire Quran will be easy for you to read. I'm finishing now. For the young brothers, I don't accept from you any target, any goal, any high vision to have except to memorize the entire Quran. You should take that pledge. But before that pledge, I would like to take a pledge, yeah? Commitment or from you. That inshallah by next year, everyone should memorize Juzu' Amma. The last Juzu' of the Quran. Can I take that pledge? Can I take that promise? Brothers, raise your hand. Can I take that promise? Next year, yes, to memorize Juzu' Amma. Sisters, can I take this promise from you? Don't say it is difficult. Next year, you have 1 year to memorize it. One entire year. All of the sisters, all of you. Why? Some sisters are still hesitating. Yes, all of you. Promise inshallah. Insha'Allah. And then we can move to the next step, which is understanding the Quran and acting upon the Quran and using Quran as a healer. We don't have time for that. Jazakumullahu khaira. And I think
you can actually carry on to Asr inshallah.
Okay. Khalas, it is yani because we what time is Asr? Okay. Briefly, brothers and sisters, after being able to recite Quran, while you are trying to learn how to read Quran properly, yes, I want one thing from you. I am sure that you have a copy of the translated Quran. I don't think that any Muslim does not have a copy of the Quran in his house or in her house. Do you have a copy of the translated Quran? Or in the language you understand? Do you have a copy? Sisters, everyone. And now, of course, you can download any translation, yeah, on your smartphone. Okay? But it might be better that you have a copy. Yeah? Paper copy. I want you, every day, to read just one page. Only one page, but consistently. Just one page, the translation of one page, or one page in translation in Danish. Can we have that pledge? Can we have that pledge? Come on, sisters, brothers. Yes, one page only. Consider it, my dear brothers and sisters. Consider Quran as your daily, yes, medicine. Consider it as your daily medication. If a person had diabetes, yes? Can this person go to bed before having the tablet? They can't. Same thing should You should treat Quran in the same thing. In fact, Quran is more important than your daily medicine. It is your daily real medicine. The medicine for your heart, the medicine for your body, the medicine for everything. So don't go to bed before reading your medicine, taking your tablet from the Quran. Can we have this commitment? Yes, sisters? Yes, brothers? Brothers? Okay. Once we read the basic meanings of the Quran, wallahi, we will understand Islam. Many of us have doubts about so many things in Islam. All or most of the questions that we had, they are answered in the Quran. You will find in Surah Baqarah, Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks about Muslims, non-Muslims, hypocrites, what will happen to us, to the entire humanity on the day of resurrection. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned previous nations. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned the social system, the talaq, the marriage. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke a little bit about the Islamic system, the political system. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke about the financial system, the ayat of riba, the ayat of spending money, and so on. This is in Surah Baqarah. Many people have confusions about so many things in Islam. They say, a very famous question that I normally receive, Sheikh, is hijab mentioned in the Quran? I said, Subhanallah. Of course it is mentioned in the Quran. Of course it is mentioned in the Quran. Oh, the other day a brother told me, is politics mentioned in Quran? I said, Subhanallah. Surah Ma'idah is talking about what? It's talking about what? Politics. What? Seriously, politics. Yeah, politics means law of governance. Surah Al-Ma'idah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ حكم, law of governance. Yes, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَاحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنُوكَ. Be careful, don't follow their law, follow your law. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مُهَيْمِنًا. We have revealed this book as a book that is superior to any other book or any other system. This is the book of Allah. This is in Surah Ma'idah. Okay, previous nations mentioned in the Quran. Okay, think of any system, it is mentioned in the Quran. All what we need, it is mentioned in the Quran. ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. We have not left anything the entire humanity needs, except it is what? It is in the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. So that's why, after being able to read Quran, let us understand it. Let us understand it. Then once we understand it, let us put it into practice. Let us live by Quran. Wallahi, if you think of Quran all the time and you live by Quran, your life will be totally different. Totally different. كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. We revealed this book so people ponder upon it. Means they understood it. And they to have maw'idha from this book in order to implement it. Yes? This is the purpose of the book, to implement this book in everything in our life. And the last thing, once we implement it, or just before the last thing, we need to call people to Quran. We read the Quran, we understood the Quran, we acted upon the Quran, we need to call people to the Quran. My dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, the entire humanity is looking for the light of the Quran. We Muslims will be sinful if we don't take the light of the Quran to the entire humanity. You will be sinful if you don't take the light of the Quran to the Danish non-Muslims. I will be sinful if I don't do something to take the light of the Quran to the British non-Muslims. Every single one of us has a responsibility. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey on my behalf, even if you convey one verse. Yeah? Even if you just know Surah Fatiha, wallahi it is a cure and its meanings can attract any non-Muslim. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters. So we need to call people to the Quran. And the last thing is what? At-tashafi bil-Quran. We need to use Quran as a cure, as a medicine. Even for the clinical diseases, illnesses, we need to use Quran as a medicine. Forget about the clinical diseases, but the other diseases. How many of you ask about what is the cure against jinn? Sihr. This is a very frequent question. In fact, we have a joke in London. We say that if you want to pull people to attend a course, have a course about jinn or sihr or shayateen. Yeah? If you have a course about Quran, people don't come. But if you tell them about jinn and sihr, and then you tell them, you know how to protect yourself from jinn? They say, yeah, how? From sihr, from evil eye, how to protect yourself? And then you give them a lecture about Quran, it will work. It will work. But you tell them, let me speak to you about Quran, they are not interested to, or they might be interested, but not that much. Yes, yeah, brothers? A man, or Umar ibn al-Khattab once was walking. You know Umar ibn al-Khattab, a strong person, yeah? Was walking. Then he met another man. And he said, let us have a play fight. Yeah? Play fight. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, why? He said, wallahi, if you win, yeah, if you beat me up, I will give you something that you will be thankful to me. He said, okay, yalla, come on. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab beat him up. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then he said, okay, let us have a second round. Umar ibn al-Khattab won the second round as well. Umar ibn al-Khattab was holding his hand. He said, are you ins or jinn? Are you jinni? He said, yes, I am jinni. He said, you are weak. All jinn are weak like this. He said, yeah, I'm the strongest among them. Anyway, after he won the two rounds, he said, listen, Umar, read Ayat al-Kursi, none of the jinn can come closer to you. Read Ayat al-Kursi, no jinn can come close to you. Subhanallah. How many of us suffer jinn, sihr, all these problems? Subhanallah, Ayat al-Kursi is a cure. One of the Salaf used to, when he used to come to any house, he wants to stay in any house, he will read Ayat al-Kursi in every corner to kick out all the shayateen and evil things. So let us have this as a cure. Teach it to your children. Teach it to everyone. Read it. Read it. Ayat al-Kursi is khair in the dunya and in the akhirah. You will earn so many much hasanat just by reading it, even if you do not understand its meaning. If you read it after each salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will be no barrier between you and Jannah except what? Except death. We ask Allah jalla wa ala to make us among the people of the Quran. Among the people of Allah who are the people of the Quran. We ask Allah jalla wa ala to make us among those who love the Quran. Among those who read the Quran. Among those who understand the Quran. We ask Allah jalla wa ala to make us among those who implement the Quran in their life. We ask Allah jalla wa ala to make us among those who use Quran as a cure. We ask Allah jalla wa ala to help us, to help all Muslims to understand Quran and to memorize Quran. My dear brothers and sisters, please, I want to make dua. Say ameen, 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 that Allah jalla wa ala helps our shabab, whether males or females, to memorize the Quran. Wallahi, ya brothers and ya sisters, especially young people, you will never get a gift in your life more valuable than memorizing the Quran. If I regret anything in my life, I would regret that I did not memorize the Quran when I was 9 or 10 years of age. Because that is the best age for you to memorize the book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Okay, it is an open session for your questions. So ask any question you like. No question. You have a question?
Assalamualaikum,
sir.
In the light of the subject we're talking about, the Quran, we're talking about the Quran. Right now, we see a lot of things happening in the Muslim world, all around the world actually, to the Muslim people. Some would say, some would put their focus entirely on this subject. Like, shouldn't we be focused on things like that? And how does the Quran, like, implement or give us the guidelines to how to tackle any situation that we need? You talked about it a bit ago. Is it a fair, statement to say that we shouldn't be focused about the Quran right now, we shouldn't be focused about learning the Quran, but because there's a lot of things...
So we should focus on what?
That's everything, I don't know, anything political, anything around the world that has any... that doesn't have any spiritual... any spiritual with it, but at the same time, something that we need a solution for. So does the Quran give the solution?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, as we said in the lecture, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, which leads to the meaning that everything we need, it is in the book of Allah. Allah also says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Indeed, this book guides to that what is better. It guides to that what is better in all matters. In all matters. Yes? Now, the problem is, my dear brothers and sisters, that some people limit Islam to certain elements. Some people limit the benefit of Quran to certain elements. For example, when they read the Quran, they just focus on the spiritual aspect of the Quran. They don't take Quran as a book of guidance in all matters, whether political matters, social matters, financial matters, you name it. They don't take Quran like this. So if they limit the benefit of the Quran, or they limit the benefit of Islam, of course, they will not see the beauty of the Quran, they will not see the beauty of Islam. And hence, they say, Quran is just a spiritual book. We don't need to focus on spirituality now, because we have some other bigger problems. Who said that Quran is just a spiritual book? No one said this. Quran is a book that was revealed for the entire humanity, yes, as a spiritual healer, as a constitution, as a book of guidance, as a healer, as a book of everything and for everything. Yeah? Okay. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Before you said to read the Quran in Arabic, like 15, 20 minutes every day.
Yeah.
Did you mean like me, my understanding and of Arabic is very poor? And inshallah, I will learn more. But did you mean that even though I don't understand it so much, I should read it?
Okay, this is a very good question. Is the question clear? He said, I advised that people read the Quran for 15 to 20 minutes. Quran means in Arabic. Shall I go and implement this advice, although I don't understand Arabic? Will I benefit from the Quran as I claimed? Yeah? Will I benefit from the Quran even I don't understand the Quran? And the answer is yes, without a shadow of a doubt. And as I said to you, learn how to read Quran in Arabic even if you do not understand it. Yes? Provided that you read it with an open heart. This is my condition. Yeah? Read it even if you do not understand it entirely, and See how you will see after a month. And still, I still stand for my word. Yeah? See, the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, as I said, it is the divine word. It is the divine words of Allah. So it is a divine. It does have a supernatural power that overtakes anything, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't really engage with it. And as I always say to brothers and sisters, if you expose your skin to the sun, even if you do not have any engagement with the sun, just by exposing yourself to the sun will have a positive impact on your body, on your health. Yes? You don't feel it. Same thing happens when you expose or when you read Quran. Same thing. We have to have confidence in this. If you don't have confidence in this, as I said to you, try it. Okay. Question from the floor. Does one get the same amount of hasanat if you read the Quran in Danish or English as one would get if you read it in Arabic? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Once we say, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever reads one letter from the book of Allah, he will get 10 hasanat. One letter means reading it in Arabic. Because once we say Quran, the word Quran means what? Arabic. The Arabic Quran. The English translation is just a tafsir or explanation or a meaning. However, when you read it in English, yes, you will get some reward because you are what? Because you are what? Learning it. And definitely, when you learn Quran, you will what? You will get some hasanat, definitely. But is it the same amount of reward? No. Okay? Question? طيب, if you can read Quran, but you cannot understand it, could it still get the hasanat for that? I read. Okay, the question says, even if I don't understand Quran, yeah, do I still get the same hasanat by reading it? Yani I read and I don't understand. Do I get the same hasanat? And the answer is yes. This is a miracle. This is the bounty of Allah. This is the favor of Allah. Allah favored this book and Allah granted 10 hasanat for reading one letter. Even if you do not understand it. That's why, wallahi, if there are elder people, the best thing for you to spend time in is reading Quran. And that's why if you go to the righteous people, when they just give up this life, and there is not much to do, or they are in prison, or something happened to them, they become ill, they cannot do anything, all what they do is what? The Mus'haf in front of them, and they read. Because it is the biggest source of what? Gaining hasanat, gaining reward. It is the biggest source of hasanat. Apart from what? Teaching it has the highest level of hasanat. Because what? You are reading and teaching. Yeah? Teaching Quran. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, what? خَيْرُكُمْ. The best of you is what? مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. The one who learned Quran and عَلَّمَهُ. And teach it. Yeah? Okay. I will continue reading from this until someone asks a question. Shall I do this? Right. Keep sending your questions anyway. Assalamu alaikum. How do you suggest that I read the Quran when I don't speak or understand Arabic? Should I read in Arabic and then try translation so I understand it also? Which technique? Okay, good question. Okay, what I advise is get a copy of the Quran. that has the Arabic, which is the Quran, and the Danish translation. If you have a copy like this, do you have a copy like this with the Arabic on one side and the Danish on another side? You have. In English, yes, definitely, yes, in English. But in Danish, you don't have. La ilaha illallah. Why? See, that's why we British more advanced than you guys. Okay. If it is, once it comes out, yeah, once it comes out, then take that copy and read the Arabic. Yeah? Of course, you need to learn the alphabet. Yeah? So read the Arabic slowly. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then read the Danish translation. And match the Danish translation with the Arabic, word by word. In order to what? To link between the Quran that you read and its meanings. If you focus more, you will be able to learn the meanings of the individual Arabic words. Yeah? And not only that, you will be able to learn how to use them as well. I cannot give an example in Danish, but I can give an example in English. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to Allah. So now Alhamd means praise. Yes? Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, Allah is one. Say Qul. And so on. So once you match, you'll be able to learn the basics of the Arabic. And then you can increase it one by one. By the way, my dear brothers and sisters, a person identified 100 words in Arabic. And he said that if you understand those words, just 100 words, you will be able to figure out the general meaning of the Quran even if you don't understand Arabic. I think it is there somewhere on the net. Yeah, there are 100 words of Arabic Quran, something like this. Tayyib? Any question from the floor? Yes.
My general experience is that the young people and Muslims in general, that they don't read the Quran in English or in Danish or in any language that they understand. Even though you advise people to do this. And perhaps this is to do with the general educational level, or that we're just not used to reading books. We'd rather have someone tell us about this or. So what can we do to actually encourage people to try and engage with the Quran, read the Quran? I mean, I know you say do it, but people don't seem to do it.
So. Yeah. Okay, take the recording of the lecture and listen to it again. What can I do? I mentioned everything. But, see, I think there are some external factors. When you, brothers and sisters, are engaged with people who do not read Quran, you will not read Quran. When you are engaged with people who read Quran, you will be encouraged to read Quran. And I strongly advise parents to make their houses as factories of the Quran in order to keep encouraging their children to memorize Quran, to read Quran. The third point is, yeah, consider Quran as your daily medication. Don't go to bed before taking your, what? Medicine. Yeah? Okay. And then the other points that I have mentioned, inshallah, in the lecture. Okay. My question is about zakah. When do you have to pay zakah and how much? Do you have to have a certain amount of money before you can give zakah? Okay. Zakah should be given annually, generally speaking, annually, from the moment you started to have some money. Don't worry much about these details. I'll make it simple, yeah, brothers and sisters. Okay? Make Ramadan, maybe 5th of Ramadan, 6th of Ramadan, any day. Make it as the day you give zakah, in a very simple way. Tayyib? Tayyib means what? Tayyib means what? Means all right. Or, okay. It is a filler. And this is a matter of integration between Arabic and English. Yeah? Okay. So, take some time or a date in Ramadan. And on that date, check how much cash you have. How much gold you have. How much stocks and shares you have. Yeah? The value of stocks and shares. These are the three main things. How much cash, irrespective of the currency. You have here cash, you have in England, you have here and Morocco, you have here and South Africa, you have here and Israel, طيب. Doesn't mean that we recognize, يعني. Okay, anyway. So, take the money, collect it, see how much is it, in all currencies as we said, then add to it how much gold you have, yes, and then add to it, how much the value of stocks and shares. Yeah? These are the three main things. And then give 2.5% of the in total value. Is it clear? Clear, sisters? Clear, brothers? Okay. What about a property? If you have a property, the property that you use to live in, yeah, is not a zakatable money. What does a zakatable money? Zakah and add to it able. So this is a new word that we introduced in English. Zakatable means it is a money that you have to give zakah on. Yeah? So property that you live in, not for business. Business means that you are not considering it as a commercial commodity. If it is not a commercial commodity, then the Prophet ﷺ said, if it is for personal use, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ فِي عَبْدِهِ وَلَا فَرَسِهِ زَكَاةٌ or صَدَقَة. There is no obligatory صَدَقَة on the person's faras, horse, and slave. Okay? طيب. Shall I take... Yes, akhi.
What about gold you use?
Yeah. Okay. The gold you use. طبعاً you mean the gold my wife use.
Yeah.
صح?
Yeah.
Because you don't use gold. Okay. So the gold your wife use, it depends on how your relationship with your wife. If you are keep fighting, then there will be a ruling. But if you are living in your honeymoon still, and no fights, so you can pay on her behalf, and she will be happy. طيب. So, if she agreed that you pay on her behalf, or let us say the sister is asking a question, what about her own gold? The gold that is used as jewelries, the scholars have five opinions about it. They can be summarized into two opinions. One opinion says give zakah, and another opinion says don't give zakah. Because there are number of different prophetic traditions. Yeah? In conclusion, without getting into the hadith and the meanings of the hadith, it's better to be on the safe side to give what? To give zakah. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who hold the gold and silver and they don't spend it in the sake of Allah, then they will be punished by what they have hoarded. And there is an authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that explains this ayah, that anyone who holds zakah, who holds gold and silver, does not give their zakah, he will be punished on the day of resurrection by those metals that he hoarded. How? They will be branded or they will be beaten into plates, and those plates will be heated in the fire of hell, and then he will be branded by those heaten plates. Yeah? For 50,000 years until the day of resurrection is over, and then whether he will go to hellfire or to Jannah, it will be seen. Yeah? So they said because of the severity of the punishment of hoarding gold and silver, they say even if the gold and silver are used for jewelry, it's better to give zakah. We'll stop here. 5 minutes. Five more minutes. Sisters, do you want to stop? They don't want to stop.
Continue.
Yeah, see, even Osama doesn't want to stop. Shall I listen to sisters and brothers? Yeah, and listen. Shall I listen to them or listen to you?
Listen to all of us. All says you should continue. Yeah.
What about the management? We'll just throw them. Yes, Dr. Kamran, he's the big boss. We have to listen to him. You gave me bayah. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. I can continue until tomorrow.
We would all enjoy that. We would all enjoy that.
But I need to go to my family. They are waiting for me.
We need even more.
Okay, we'll try to finish these questions. Okay, my question about zakah. No, so someone had a question? Who? Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Which book on Seerah, on Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, would you recommend in English version?
Yeah, which book in Seerah about the life of the Prophet ﷺ? Yeah, there is one book which is called Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, the sealed nectar. Yeah? Is it available in Danish? Yeah.
Okay.
Huh?
You have it in Islam Guide
as well. MashaAllah, this is good marketing. طيب. There is a question here. What is the purpose of life? Yeah. Question, what is the purpose of life? See, I totally agree. Every single one should ask himself or herself about the purpose of life. Because if you don't know the purpose of life, life is boring. Life is meaningless. Yes? Whatever you do and you achieve, if you don't know the entire purpose of life, yeah, is worthless. Because you need to know as a human being, why are you there? Some people claim that there is God and God created us. Is that true or not? It's not something to be taken easily. God wanted something from us. What is that? We need to know. It's not something to be taken easily or lightly. Then if I believe in God, I need to know what does He want from us? Why He created us? And we are going to suffer and some poor people are suffering. He created disabled people. He said that he will punish people. He said that he created hellfire. He created paradise. Why all of these things? Why did he do all of these things? For sure, this God is a supreme being. He is different from other human beings. He is different from human beings. So, he must have wisdom. He cannot do things arbitrarily. So I need to know, what does he want? Yeah? What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life, yes, the purpose of this life is to be attached to him and submit to him, please him and accept his challenge. If you continue pleasing him, he will place you in the best place you can ever imagine, where you live in happiness and peace eternally. So, the purpose of life is a challenge. Are you going to submit to him in order for him to be pleased and happy with you? So he puts you in eternal happiness, which is called paradise. This is the purpose. If you live with that purpose, you enjoy challenges. Human beings like to enjoy challenges. Yes? They don't like just to live like this. Imagine, as we said about Robin, what's his name? The American actor. Yeah? Robin Williams, who committed suicide. Just luxury, everything he wants he had. Yet, material could not grant him or secure happiness to him. There must be something beyond materialistic life. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to pray salah with a Quran in my hands? And is it permissible for a sister to pray loudly if she is alone with the sisters only? Yeah, that is permissible, both permissible. But avoid carrying mushaf in fard salah, because you need to move a lot. So in fard salah, read from your memory, and this will encourage you to memorize. Assalamu alaikum. My question is, which qualities should a person look for in a future spouse, apart from him, her, being Muslim? Are there any qualities you can recommend? Okay. Simply, brothers and sisters, yeah? Simply. The sister should look for, apart from Islam, apart from deen, yeah? Should look at two main qualities in the brother. Yeah? First quality, is he a person whom you can relate to? Yes? You can talk to? You can discuss with? Yeah? You can agree to disagree? Is he that person or not? Tayyib? Yeah? Then the second one, طيب, is his kindness. These are the two important qualities. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَتَّاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. Deen, yes, and what? خلق, character. Character includes he's a brave, he's a generous, so many things. Among those qualities, these two things. Is he a reasonable person whom you can relate to? Might agree, disagree? Yes? And the second thing, is he a kind person or not? طبعاً, I'm talking about a man. When you want to marry a man, we are talking about Islamic marriage. طيب? In Islamic marriage, alhamdulillah, so far, we have not liberalized it. طيب? A man, a female marries a male. Not a female marries a female. طيب? Or a male marries a male. We are talking about the Islamic one. So, look for a man who have these qualities. طبعاً, sisters, to be honest with you, let me be open with you. You don't have, in many cases, I want to be honest with you, in many cases you don't have many chances. Because whatever, the number of people proposing, the number of brothers proposing is limited. So if that is the case, accept, you need to maybe give up many of
your ideals.
Yes, your ideals. Yeah, you, many of the of your dreams. Yeah, that a very nice, romantic, handsome brother. Yeah, wants to marry me, and he is like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is so kind, so gentle. He is a man I can depend on him, and he looks after me. And yeah, this is in Jannah, inshallah. Here, all men have problems. And the sisters now will be happy. Same thing, brothers, don't look for that sisters with, يعني, with a very beautiful looking, very attractive that you see, I'm so sorry to say this, only in certain Arab channels. Yeah? طيب. Only there you see this pretty, attractive sister. And mashallah, she is a good cook. She cooks very well. She looks after me. She looks after my parents. She's very nice, very sweet, very cheerful, very smiley, very... This is in Jannah. Yeah? Seriously. But look for a reasonable sister. She, first of all, she's a person whom you can relate to. Yes? And she is a carer. She can look after you as a man. Look after the children. She is a carer. تزوجوا what? الودود الولود. ودود means what? She shows love. This is the most important quality women should have. That they show what? Love. Yeah? الودود. الولود means she is fertile, she gives birth, she can conceive. What can I do to not to forget what I memorized? Yeah, just repeat it. Many people say, I forget Quran. I say to them, do you forget Surah Fatiha? Do you forget Surah Al-Fatiha? No. Why? Because you repeat it every time. So the more you repeat, the more you will memorize. طيب. Assalamu alaikum. My mother is illiterate, I think. She can't read or write and has a very hard time memorizing, even though she appeals the letters, she quickly forgets them, or even she repeats the letters, she forgets them. I hope to help her learn how to read the Quran. Yeah, please make dua for her. اللهم إنا نسألك يا حي يا قيوم يا بديع السماوات والأرض أن تعين أمها على قراءة القرآن. قولوا آمين. اللهم أعنا وأعنها وأعن كل مسلم على قراءة القرآن. آمين يا رب العالمين. طيب, if she dies without having learned to read, is that a sin for her? She needs to memorize Surah Fatiha, and she needs to memorize 10 surahs from the end. قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. Yeah. طيب. Yeah, brothers, this shows, when I told you, you are young people and what you need to focus on. And I said to you, focus on learning Quran, because when you become old, you will send a question like this. Seriously. So what is better, brothers and sisters? What is better? To learn, or that your son will send a question like this: my father doesn't know how to read Quran, or my father finds it difficult to read Quran. Don't laugh. You laugh now. If you neglect it, this is what will happen. Yes? Is it okay? Is it a must that you have a scarf when you read the Quran? Or can you still read Quran without scarf, but still get the same reward. You don't need to wear a scarf when you read Quran. Not at all. Yeah? You read Quran without a scarf, without hijab. That is not a problem at all. And you will get the same reward, inshallah. Okay, when I need to... Yeah, when I need to pay zakah, do I need to count in... do I need to get in the gold that I got as a gift? Do I need to pay zakah of them? Yeah, we answered this question. Tayyib. Is sacrificing an animal obligatory to any of us or any, or this is for those who are doing Hajj? No. Okay. Sacrificing an animal, yes, is a highly recommended sunnah. It is a highly recommended sunnah, my dear brothers and sisters. And I think, Sheikh Kamran, are you going to speak about Ahkam al-Udhiya? Yeah, if not, then do it, please. Yeah? It is something good. Anyway, it is a highly recommended sunnah. The head of the household can sacrifice one sheep that covers his family. Yeah? His wife, his children. Yes? And even if his dad and mom live with him. Okay? This is the udhiyah. There are some rulings. You know that the 10 days of the Hijjah are starting maybe on Thursday. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if the 10 days of the Hijjah start and you wanted to sacrifice an animal, then don't touch your hair, don't cut your nail. Yeah. Inshallah, that can be explained by Sheikh Kamran, inshallah, before that. Even if you could not do this, you still sacrifice. You can still sacrifice the qurbani. Taib? Okay. I am a sister and you advised the brothers and the sisters to look after a man, a woman they could relate to. But how is that possible if we only meet our possible husband, wife once when they purpose propose before nikah? We started to get into politics. Is the question clear?
No.
She says, the sister says, how can I know whether this brother is a person whom I can relate to? Yeah? While I can see him once only. Yeah, sister. Tayyib. You have a father. That's why we say, don't marry without the wali. You have the father. You have your brothers. You have the Muslim community around you. Do some homework. Do some homework. Ask. And sisters, please, please, please. As you know that I am a member of the Islamic Sharia Council, I hear so many stories of brothers, yeah, fooling sisters. They pretend that they are the best people in the world. And then they cheat them. Please don't believe brothers. Believe yourself. Seriously. Do your homework. Take the matter seriously. Do go and do your homework. What? Ask about the brother. Ask the people around him. Ask some sisters who are married to ask their husbands to do some homework about the brother. Don't ask his friends only. Do homework, really. Take the matter seriously. We came across so many horrible stories of brothers abusing sisters. Practicing brothers. Claiming that they are the best people in the world and they become the worst people in the world. Yeah? طيب. جزاكم الله خيرا. بارك الله فيكم. Any question before I leave? Shall we stop? One question? طيب. Sisters, any question? No question? Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Rasulillah. You have a question. Go ahead.
When you are making a rak'ah, how many surahs are you allowed to say?
If you what, sorry?
When you are making salah, uh-huh. You say more than one surah after.
Yeah, if you are reading your salah, yes, you read surah Fatiha. Can you read more than one surah after surah Fatiha? And the answer is yes, you can, inshallah. Yes, you can read, for example, surah Fatiha, then Surah Ikhlas, then Surah Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, then Surah An-Nas. Yes. What do you mean by jama'ah? Yani you are the imam?
You are reading the prayer.
Uh-huh. Can I still read more than yes, you can. You can. Don't they do this in Taraweeh?
Yes. Normally
in Fard Salah. Yeah, even in Fard Salah. Okay. But don't lead the Salah and read Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. And then you say the Sheikh told us to. طيب. Okay, question, common question. Can the female touch and read the Quran if she is on her period? If we are talking first of all about the Arabic Quran. Yes, the Arabic Quran. And touching, we are talking about touching the Arabic script. Yeah? Generally speaking, if you do not have a wudu, whether a male or a female, you should avoid touching the Arabic script. If you have the major impurity, yeah, the hadath, يعني janaba, you don't touch the Arabic script, whether male or female. طيب. Now, the females, when they are on their period, they have janaba as well. So they don't touch the Quran as well because they are on their period. Touching means touching the script. طيب, do you read it from your memory? Of course you read it. طيب, what about touching the smartphone? By the way, Allah, someone took my smartphone. If you are seeking barakah in my smartphone, then I don't think that there is barakah in my smartphone. Because it is made in Korea. It is Samsung. So there is no barakah in it. Where is my mobile phone, ya Sheikh? Sahih, where is it? Now I'm worried about my mobile phone.
It's an iPhone, Galaxy, Samsung.
Ah, you took it. You want to know which one? No, it is Galaxy. Yeah, one of the advanced ones. Don't think that we are backward people. Yeah, young people think that they know. They are the only people know. They think that his uncle, he doesn't know anything about technology. Allah yahdik ya Usama. I was a muhandis, an engineer before you were born. I knew computer before you were born. This is Osama. He's a lovely boy, mashallah. May Allah protect him. Ah? Ah. Hada bil Arabi. Yeah. He's asking about, we mentioned in the khutbah, the khutbah Friday. In fact, more than one brother asked the same question. About that sister who got married the first time. Then she left her husband and then she got married the second time. Then she left the second man and she got married to the third man. Yes? You remember the story?
Yes.
Yeah, what is the ruling regarding this? We said to that sister, the second so-called marriage and the third so-called marriage, both of them are what? Invalid. طيب, what about the children from the second man and the children from the third man? We said that they are attributed to the second man and to the third man. Yeah? although the marriage was invalid because there is a shubhat nikah. طيب, a possibility, يعني, there was a doubt in the nikah. Clear? And then we told her, if you want to apply for khul' from the first husband, yeah, you should do this. Khul' means marriage dissolution. Clear? This was the answer. So that's why, please, sisters, okay, let me just mention this. Yes, this is a very important topic. Sisters, please, please, if you are not quite sure of your divorce, yes, don't get married at all. This sister, she got married to another man, and then third man, and she remained with both of them for almost 20 years. 20 years later, she started to regret, and she started to ask about the lineage of her children. So don't do it unless you are quite sure that you were divorced from this man. Don't get married. If you have a doubt, come to the center here. What happened to the Islamic Sharia Council, ya Ustaz Kamra?
We are following.
Huh?
We are following.
What do you mean by following?
We're trying to establish a
principle. Yes, you must, ya akhi wallah. Yeah, you must. It is needed. Okay. Many sisters yesterday, some brothers and sisters, or the day before yesterday, asked about civil divorce. Civil divorce is not sufficient because it is civil. It is not sufficient. It is not a replacement of Islamic divorce. You need to have your Islamic divorce. And this is what we are calling for. If the Muslim personal law was recognized in the West, this will make the life of sisters, in particular, much easier. Okay? طيب. Shall we conclude? خلاص? خلاص means خلاص. Yeah? Anything, Sheikh Kamran? I mean. But what about my mobile phone? Old Samsung? No. You found it?
No.
Question to the brothers. Yes, where is my mobile phone? JazakAllah khair. Barakallah fikum. Assalamu alaikum.